How long you gonna make me hold out for Brax's hold out? This is Core.
Hello and welcome to Core. This is the Heroes of the Podcast. Heroes of the Storm podcast called Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Beau Schwartz and John Jagger. And today we start things off by talking about changing what we see in the game. And by that I mean maybe the UI could have some improvements. And I know they've done that over time. And when they launched the game, there were a bunch of changes made. And those were all good. And since then, we've had some nice changes to the way questing talents work. So you have a more of a visualization of what's happening as you're achieving your goals. And there used to be a big flaming blue flame on top of your name when you were on fire, and that's gone now. So they've certainly experimented in this way. But the other day, Bo says to me while we were playing, I don't remember what we were doing. We were just playing, right? Just goofing around.
We're just playing some unranked, I think.
That's what it was. And you said, you know, it would be really good. I'm going to put this in the notes. And then you described to me briefly what we're going to talk about. And it was the ability to sort of better track what other players are doing, both on your team and the other team, so that you're not having to, you know, hunt around in a way that makes it hard for you to get what you have to get done. So let's start with the very basics. What is the number one thing you would like to see added that is not currently there? Beau Schwartz, take it away.
Okay, so in order to, if you want to be the most effective Heroes player you can be, information is power. And if you push tab and push the talents, there's all kinds of information about what you and your enemy team is selecting. Unfortunately, that window that you open up takes up the entire screen. So you have to do it at a time which is safe. A time which is safe is not necessarily time which the information might be immediately relevant, considering a talent tier gets gained by the enemy team during the middle of a fight. You're not going to push tab and have a look.
Right.
And this came up, the genesis of this for me, I believe, was a popular build now with Kael'thas is the convection build. At level one, you get a talent, makes your flame strikes. When they do damage to people, it increases their damage. If you hit 20 heroes with it, you double what you've earned over the increase. You get a big power spike, and it's really big on Kael'thas. And considering his level 20 flamethrower that increases the range, this has huge upside potential. So the thing that you have to do, and this is just with the level one talent, the thing that you aware teams are doing are keeping track of how many stacks he's at, which you can do by pressing tab and going to talents. You can see there's a hexagon around each talent, and it fills up in yellow as you complete it. Well, you can see what's going on with the enemy teams as well. So I have to monitor that throughout the course of the game. And when it starts to get out of control, I got to type in chat, you know, convection stacks are getting big. We need to focus Kael'thas quickly. It's annoying to press tab and talents all the time. So what if, for example, right at level one, when you're milling about the gate going like, let me in, I want to fight. Mm-hmm. What if some kind of UI element shows you what your teammates and you are picking right there? And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can slide in from either side of the screen. And maybe it's just a symbol, and if you hover over it, you get a tooltip. Or maybe it's a small symbol and the name. But I'd really like to not have to push all those buttons and block my game screen to view what I consider to be critical information. I mean, strategically speaking, it's important to know. Taking the time to know that information versus not doing it, I think, is really important.
Well, the game,
I've got a wild idea.
Go ahead.
That just came to me as you said that. What if we literally took WoW's solution on this? And if you pick up a quest talent over on the right in just text that you can see and click through, it says it gives you like a quest log, and it literally says, like, you know, maybe if it's an enemy, it's in red. Or it says enemy Kael'thas, whatever, is on a quest and gives you what his count is so far. And just like the WoW quest log, you can do a drop down. You can, you know, show or make it disappear if you don't want to see it. And just have it to where it's kind of a opt-in UI element but one that can just sit there in the corner of your screen, not take up too much real estate, just kind of be text over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it also pays a nice little homage to World of Warcraft, where the quests come from.
I like that
and
idea
they can
a
even
lot.
Have like Uther jump in and be like, a hero has begun a quest, you know, right when they start it.
Yeah.
And then when they complete it, it, you know, quest completed, and then it goes away.
I like that idea a lot. That would work, wouldn't it, Bo? Something sort of like that.
I'm picturing an Uther Clippy now in my client.
Oh, great. What can I do for you?
I see you've begun a quest, hero.
Would you like to print it? So here's the thinking, or here's something I want to make sure people understand. When Bo first suggested this, I went, well, he's talking about like basically a step closer to cheating and knowing what your other team's doing. And it's important to remember, as it was for me, that this information is already public to the game. And when you are in there, you can tab and look and see who's doing what and what they've got and what their talent choices are so far. So as soon as, you know, level 16 comes and goes, you can hit tab and see what everyone has chosen or even see who hasn't chosen yet for whatever reason. You can see all of those things. So we're not asking the game to reveal anything more than it's already revealing. This is already, the game chose a long time ago in its design to make it very, very obvious to everyone involved what everyone is choosing if you so look for it. The question is, Bo, is there any strategic value from Blizzard's perspective or from the game's perspective that comes from me having to go look for it versus it being presented to me? In other words, should it be a little tricky for me to go see it versus having it just pop up like a quest list on the side like John's suggesting, which, by the way, I would vote for. But playing a little devil's advocate, do you think, just purely your opinion, do you think maybe the hiddenness of it is part of the game?
No, because and not that objectively no, but philosophically from the Heroes team. Last week we discussed some updates, including phasing out talents known as Relentless. And the reason cited was that you pick that talent and it's not obvious you have it. So just as a refresher, Relentless type talents are ones that say CCs are 50% have less duration, and in Greymane's case have 75% less duration, I believe, or maybe 0.75 seconds. So if you get hit with a 1 second root, it actually lasts 0.25 if you've got this Relentless talent. Haymaker or Avatar on Muradin works this way, and I believe Wrath of the Berserker on Sonya works this way. And the reason cited for removing them is it's not obvious that you have these talents in play. And so then I'm like, well, it's not obvious anyone has any talents until you get hit in the face with it. So, like, you know, sometimes Sylvanas goes mind control instead of Wailing Arrow. And 9 times out of 10, maybe you're expecting Wailing Arrow because meta. And then you get, you know, you lose a fight because they picked the other one. Or Falstead went Hinterland Blast or something. Like, this is important information. It's very critical to the game. And yet it's fundamentally invisible. I think it's, for players in the know, it's highly inconvenient to press tab and talents. I don't think that's good design. I think that's the best case that, or best effort that we have now. I don't think it's good to ask high skill players to be looking at a screen that blocks it. And new players, they just don't look.
It does feel
granted.
Like, yeah,
they won't look anyways, probably, if there's notifications. But John's opt-in idea, I think, is for the people who want it, who will pay attention to it. I think this helps improve the experience for everyone. Because I'm lazy. When I play my games, I'm just like, oh, I got to push tab and look at that disgusting screen and then press tab. Like, I don't want to see it. I want to play the game. And I want that information in my eyeballs quickly. And I hate having to wait for, like, I don't want to die just to look at my tab screen or anything. So
yeah,
I think this has to be better as time goes on. And so I'm bringing it up now because it's time. With questing talents coming into play, I'd like 25% completion, 50% completion, 75% completion notifications to also pop up personally.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I totally agree. It is a little like having to go look up something in a dictionary in the middle of a conversation. Like, if you want to look at it that way, I like a good analogy. So here's the one I'm going with. You're talking to a girl, right, at a bar. Bo's at a bar somewhere in Saskatchewan. I don't know where you are.
Oh, whoa.
You're at some place like that. Weird, some weird Canadian northern thing. And you're in that bar and you're having this conversation and it's going great. It's very lively. You're playing off a lot of each other's visual cues, but you're like, I really need to know if she has a job or not. And you have to bring up a big ledger in front of your face and look it up and look at kind of a spreadsheet layout, try to find her name among the name of all the ladies you're seeing and say, oh, here she is. Okay, looks like she works for the Parks Department.
I Facebook her in the middle of our conversation discreetly. I'm like, all right, what's your name? What's your last name? Mine's Schwartz. What's yours? Let's play a little game. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, isn't that band really good? And then...
Yep. Flip. And then by the time you close it, you've lost the fight and she's left. So...
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think
because she leveled up somewhere in there with the new bow.
Uh-huh.
And... Yeah,
there you go.
Just too busy checking Facebook.
And again, we're not
seducing.
We're not asking.
Seduction is an art. Folks.
Exactly, it is. And that Bo's Art of Seduction is a fast-selling book and on the top charts in Canada, says the CBC. Anyway, if you go and you if you look at the game and you decide, well, all right, if they're going to give me this information, they should give it to me in a more digestible, meaningful way, then my vote is for John's side of the screen. Let's take, you know, the game does takes lots of cues from other games, including WoW in some cases, but they've been able to say, oh, hey, questing talents, those are cool. That's like doing a quest. They even have a little exclamation point over their heads, and you see them pop when they get the stuff, and hey, that interface element from StarCraft works really well here, or even borrowing from other MOBAs and saying, well, I think the QWER is the way to go for a default control scheme, and quick cast versus not quick cast, lock camera versus not lock camera. So it's all, they've already got a sea of borrowing from, iterative borrowing from other games, even in their own stable. Why not steal something from WoW that's meaningful like this? I'd be all up for that. So 1 point to John on today's episode.
I did it.
Yeah, well done.
Already in
that'll
the
help,
lead.
That'll help you on next Jeopardy coming up a little bit later because you'll be a point ahead. Great.
You don't win by points. You win by money. But
yeah, exactly. We talked about it kind of briefly, but I want to bring it up just a little bit. It's kind of a similar thing. There are people who are hoping for better ways to track traits or buffs in the UI, such as Kerrigan Shields, Valid's Hatred, or as this says, Hatry, or the uptime on Greymane's Inner Beast, or whatever. How about, and again, maybe this doesn't work from a screen clutter perspective, but... In World of Warcraft, if I've got a creature, a mob, whatever my target is, another player on screen, I have a few ways of seeing kind of what's happening. Now, since you can't select someone in Heroes of the Storm in the traditional way where you've selected them and now they're highlighted and you do other things while they're highlighted, that doesn't really exist in this game. What if above their head you could see that I have slowed them with Jaina stuff? Or I could see another little square next to the slow Jaina stuff that said they're taking burning damage or something. Or stuff like that. Or they've been buffed or they're shielded or they're I guess right now they just put words up, right? They'll say impenetrable or not. That's not the word. What's the word?
Invulnerable.
I was going to say immovable, but it's invulnerable. So when they do it, they just...
Unstoppable is another one.
Unstoppable, right. Is there any value in trying to say all of the things that are happening to a character at any given time, like strategic value?
I'm just worried that it would become overload at a certain point. I would like to see them maybe... You know, I think maybe that there is, kind of going back to what you said earlier, there's a level of skill that comes with identifying what characters can do and understanding what they can do, you know, understanding how Greymane works. I don't know if it needs to be communicated to me how well his inner beast is doing. I should be aware that that's a mechanic that Greymane possesses and be wary of it. And I don't know if Blizzard needs to communicate that to me. But you look at something like Kerrigan Shields, and they do put a visual on the UI of there's a little shield color change on the health bar. So that kind of makes sense to me. But I don't know. I think that Blizzard is very worried about overcomplicating the bars because already the game is very visually confusing when you have a million ultimates going off at the same time and people are running all over the place and firing everything at once. I think if you tried to throw buffs on top of everybody's bar to kind of try and communicate these ideas on top of that, I would want to turn them off immediately and just say, I'll play it by ear because this is becoming too much for me.
Yeah, there. We put in a couple of examples here of when we are given indicators like that. One is, for example, the verdant spheres that KT walks around with, you know, his balls. Yep. They glow green when they're turned on, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, yeah.
Don't they all? We all? Can't we all empathize?
That's true.
We've all been there.
But there's like a moment. That's a moment of like, oh, get away from KT. Like, that's going to be a problem if you're, you know, he's fully charged. Or tracers reload and stick bomb thing work pretty well as indicators. I'm all about visual flourish. So if they can figure out better ways to do this, great. Like, for example, I think it'd be neat if you granted everyone invulnerability, that if everyone just turned. You remember Mario in Super Mario 64 when he turned in like silver metal so he could sink to the bottom of the lake or whatever? I want everyone to turn like that for like the 3 seconds that you have it. Like, where you can't get hurt. It'd be super cool. And it would be this great moment of like, oh my gosh, they're all silver, we're screwed. You know, like, there's just more, can't believe they popped that one out right now kind of moments that the game could provide visually. But anyway, UI, it's hard.
Also, one more thing on this, that as I'm looking at it, it just reminded me. Why don't we just get rid of Vala's hatred?
I
think it's a stupid mechanic. I would rather them come up with something different. It's when I play Vala, maybe I'm just a bad Vala. Actually, I know I'm a bad Vala, so let me correct that. I know I'm a bad Vala, but in spite of me being a bad Vala, I also think that is like a resource that I just don't monitor, really. It's like, all right, well, it's going to go do what it's going to do because I'm vaguely aware of what it does for me, but it's hard to keep track of while I'm trying to do all my Vala things, so it's just going to have to work in the background right now. Mm-hmm. I know she's getting a rework, and maybe that'll help in some way, but right now it just feels like we put it on there because her Diablo character has it.
I think when you're at full stacks, you get the movement speed buff wind. You know, when you're moving faster, there's little winds around you.
Yeah.
I think that's how you know when you're top, but otherwise, it's too far away to look at that tiny little thing in the heat of the moment and watch it. I was doing a lot of that on the PTR because now it's even more important. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say the rework is such that I'd actually argue hatred is more invisible than it's ever been. Playing with her only, we probably played, I don't know, six games where I played with her on the PTR. And while I like it, and while I found a build, thanks big part to Vesa, who kind of worked it out, how to get the best auto attack build out of her now with the changes, I feel like I had a better sense of where hatred was before, and now I really don't know what the hell is happening when it's happening. I just know that kind of on this weird, it's almost like a rhythm. There's like a sine wave, and on the crest, I'm doing a bunch of extra damage and faster speed and blah blah blah, and then it's just dipping down, and I know, but I don't know when this is happening. I'm just like, well, I hope this is one of those times we're in the fight. Woo! Let's hope it's up on the top. But you don't know, really. I mean, you do, but if you're not, you know, you're paying attention to other things like position and, you know, skills and not dying. It's pretty vague. I agree with you 100%. Her stuff's weird. I actually feel this way about a couple of characters. The other one that I'm getting used to the way Oreo's stuff works. And we call her Oreo. If you're new to the show, we know it's not her name. We just say that, so live with it. Her thing's weird, but I think I'm kind of getting the hang of it. The one where I struggle probably most is actually one of my favorite characters and one that I played the most in the early days and is still my top-leveled character, and that's Thrall. It makes sense. Like, it's not the same problem as Hatred in that I can see when I've used an ability and see when the thing ticks, and then I know how many more ticks I need until he is going to refresh both health and mana, depending on how I've spec'd him. But I feel like I'm playing this weird TikTok game, a weird mini game where it's like, all right, well, I don't want to use my stuff yet because look where it is, and if I blow it now, that's going to do me no good. I need to be in the heat of battle or whatever. So there is this kind of, I keep thinking of these other things, but you know when the pig in Toy Story 2 is trying to get, he's skipping through channels and he lands on the commercial with Newman, but he skips over it so fast and they're going, go back. And he says, no, it's faster if I just go all the way around again. So he keeps tapping to go back around the other way. Like there's only a one direction on the remote or whatever. That's how I feel like when I'm playing him sometimes. And it's,
you know,
kind of
as odd as that analogy was, Scott. It's one I use all the time. So I'm 100% on board with it.
Oh, good. That makes me feel better. I was afraid this would be too obscure, but there's just a feeling to that. And that's really important, as they know, like character, how a character feels is everything in this game. And I think Vala would feel better if we just knew that hatred mattered more than just, oh yeah, that's what she does and somehow it works out. Because that's how it feels right now. Oh, it's what she does and it just sort of works out. I would rather say, yeah, oh, here's my finite thing I need to build stacks of, or here are the things that I need to do to ensure that I'm topped out. Or, you know, like, I know that those are possible, but with her, it just feels nebulous and weird. Maybe like real hatred. Maybe that's the point. I never know how angry I'm going to be 1 minute to the next. I could right now be pleasant and nice, or in the next second I could say, Bo has penis warts. What are you going to do?
Hey, I told you that in confidence.
Fight me. Anyway.
Well, hatred.
That lady in Saskatchewan sure dodged a bullet.
Man, I'm outed now. Yeah. All right. Okay, so I think hatred could work like in Diablo. I think that's an easy fix. Like, you don't have to do any of this weird stuff, I don't think, in Diablo. Like, if so, it's a set thing, probably. Hatred is just alternate resource. Just give her two resources. Done.
Yeah, good point. That's Dunzo. Just, because isn't that the deal? It's you have a split bowl or a split globe. Half of it is blue hatred. The other half is, what's the other one?
Vespine
gas. That's it.
Discipline.
I would have it the other way. Hatred is the red stuff. Blue stuff is discipline. And so you vault with discipline. It's all like the skilly sounding things that you would do in the world. And then vengeance is like the powerful, you know, I'm going to wreak my vengeance on you weapon stuff. Since there is no vengeance as a resource, I don't know why they had to zero in and have. Well, what's the hatred part then?
Oh, discipline and hatred. You slipped off the horse already.
Oh, yeah. Why did I say vengeance again? Yeah, I keep saying vengeance.
I have to go for a bit. But
sorry, hatred. You hatred.
Fell into your own hole there.
Well, so hatred breeds vengeance. Vengeance breeds discipline. Yeah,
discipline is tempered by hatred. So if you just have hatred, you're chaos.
Oh,
but if you're disciplined, you're Darth Vader.
Oh, yes. All right. Like, so
what we can all agree on is Yoda is very disappointed.
Right. That's very. He has his resources disappointment. Yeah, we don't know. I don't know how you fix her, but they're about to fix her. So I guess we'll let that be what it's going to be for a while before we decide to rip her out and try her again. But let's move on to potential ranked player team size changes. So last week, Travis McGathy.
The E is silent.
I wrote it out phonetically.
Yeah. We really should. I have to do that on some shows. I'm not going to lie. I actually do. Because some people's names are rough, man. Anyway, last week, Travis stopped by on the show and he dropped the news that they are considering making a Hero League solo queue. That just last week? It feels like a year ago. Was that last week?
It was last week, I know. I'm with you there, where I was like, oh my God.
That's weird.
We barely haven't done an interview lately. Let's get another one going.
Yeah, we need another one. He was great, by the way. Huge thanks to them again. But he made this comment that ended up blowing up on like Reddit, and people were talking about it like crazy. There was the segment of the interview we did where I think we just sort of passed through it thinking, oh, here's a fun hypothetical, and that's it. Like, we weren't really... Right. Zeroing in, trying to get some like hot take out of somebody who wasn't ready to give a hot take or whatever, but suggested solo queue only, or sorry, making Hero League solo queue only and changing Team League to allow from 2 to 3 to 5 person teams. I guess never 4, right? Is that the idea, or 1?
Well, yeah, you couldn't do 4 because there would never be a queue of 1.
Oh, good point. If you don't have 1, there is no 4.
Yeah.
Well said. Anyway, so
people with 3 friends, you're boned. Get another friend or ditch one.
Yeah. And so in professional style, it went right over our heads. We accepted it for what it was and we moved on to the next question. However, we should probably circle back to it a little bit since a lot of other people did. What do we think of this idea? And does it, and whoever wants to take this can take it, but does this diminish the value of Team League as a 5-person only experience that really takes that kind of sacrifice, planning, and effort, and is therefore more satisfying because you were somehow able to pull off a 5-man, game on any given night? Or is this a good idea? Will this open things up by saying 2, 3, 5?
I think this is a good idea.
Good idea? Yeah. You said good or bad?
Good.
Okay, good.
Great, even.
All
right. I would go as far as to say great.
Okay.
And I want Bo, because I cut him off, to say how he feels, because he probably has more love for Hero League than I do. So, but what's your take?
Yeah,
I think it's kind of great. Like, I'm still able to queue up with a buddy in Hero League, so I still get that experience, but it's going to be for a different rank system. So it's weird. I think overall it's good, because definitely it does feel like you get stomped sometimes by duos. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of playing a duo is to get that advantage in a solo queue mainly environment. That's what you're counting on. I know that's what Kyle and I have been counting on. That being said, you're still only 40% of the team. So depending on the rest of the temperaments of the rest of your team, maybe it doesn't always work. But I think that a lot of people aren't playing Team League. And I think what this does is this potentially injects a lot more players into the Team League ladder. And I think that's overall healthier for the game. Solo can be the denizen of the lower level of hell that it is on occasion.
Well, it already is, though, right? Because you're mostly playing. I know you played a bunch with Kyle, but if you're looking at the large portion of what you've put your time into in Hero League, it's mostly solo, right? Like, that's mainly where you've been.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of solo, and I do duo maybe about 60-40 or 70-30, mostly solo. But, like, you know, I'm playing a lot, and I like the level of competition. It's hard to go back to quick match when you're so used to some of the things, the conventions you do get out of a Hero League game. But you know, you're more likely to get you're more likely to get good teamwork, as you are more likely to get vitriol when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Someone wants to play talent investigator and meta detective.
Oh.
And you know, it's so but I feel like the duo groups generally are less prone to being toxic than the solo players, because at the end of the day, you can be on Skype with your friend and just be like, man, this Medivh, he's pretty awful. And you can say whatever you want, and it's not on the record. It isn't in some database that you said some mean thing somewhere in Blizzard HQ or whatever that the FBI can go find if they want to know more about your personality in the future. You know, it's not on the record, and it's a great venting spot. So I just think in the twos and threes, there'll be less toxicity. And I think we talk about Team League sort of being the place to be. I think this further solidifies it. So I like the idea.
All right.
More for the benefit of Team League than for the benefits that you would perceive for Hero League.
You buy all that, John?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Hero League is just a cesspool. And I say, let's abandon it. Let's just put it on the iceberg and gently nudge it out into the open ocean and let it do what its own little Hero League thing is going to do. And I think Blizzard, not that they maybe feel that strongly for it, but we know from talking to them and things that they've said that they really like Team League. They think Team League is the way this game should be played, but they understand that getting a full group of five people together on a regular basis to play the game isn't easy for everybody. And I think Team League suffered from a PR problem in the early days. I know we certainly had it. If you go back and listen to early episodes of our show, we were like, well, there's Team League, but you just get stomped in there. And it's, you know, 3 hours to get completely wrecked because the queues were also really long. But our experience in it has been really great. And I think bringing more people to it is only going to allow that to be a better experience. And when I think of a MOBA, I think of it as a multiplayer game. I think of it as a game to play with my friends. And that means that it should be as inclusive as possible. You know, whether I'm bringing in one other person or whether I'm bringing in four, getting to play with people should be the easiest, most welcoming, and most enjoyable way to experience the game.
Agreed. Well said. All right. Well, watch for whatever happens. I mean, obviously, he was just throwing that stuff around, so we don't know. You know, we don't know how accurate any of that was going to be, other than they've discussed such things. And thanks again to Travis for giving us something to stir up some controversy during the week. Not in a negative way so much, but sure got a lot of talk from people, and that was great. We'd love to see that.
For the record, he just said they were thinking about it.
Yeah.
And everyone took it as they're going to do it.
Yeah, people
did not say that. for a season is what he said. We'll give it a try for a season and see how it goes. So it wasn't even a commit. It wasn't a commitment to do it. And then on top of that, it wasn't a commitment to stick with it for longer than 3 months.
Yeah.
So,
and on top of that, there's no commitment on any time frame at all as to when they may test such a thing. And if they did, they would give us a ton of warning. So relax. Hey, do you guys even remember? I know this goes way back, but it just got me thinking about features and things that have changed. Do you guys remember what they were proposing to put into the game that was some kind of weird, like, offline progression thing that gave you bonuses in the game if you were doing them? And they were, it was kind of
called the artifact thing. Yeah. I don't know if it was called the artifact, but it was something like that.
What was the point? Right? Do you remember what the mechanic of that was, generally speaking, like what it was supposed to do for us in the game? I don't remember, but I'm curious about that from a relic standpoint. Like, I kind of want to go and see what that was.
Up.
I want to see what that was and see what it, why everyone flipped out and how they, before they even gave us any form of implementation, it was just yanked out and it was a huge deal and no one talks about it anymore. And I'm just curious if any of that, like, if we look at it now, will we go, oh, that's funny, that made it into traits, or that made it into something else, or that could still work in this other thing they've been talking about? Because, you know, Blizzard, while they have ideas and they take some and they leave some, they rarely abandon them entirely. They sometimes rework them. You know, WoW's a good example. The quest missions, hall missions are a lot like garrison missions, but refined and better in almost every conceivable way. So I don't think they would just throw it away. But I'm just curious. Every once in a while, I think about that, and I go, well, now, what was that they were going to do? What was that weird-ass thing that just made the community lose its mind?
Yeah, so I did just a quick little read while you were talking. And basically, from what I see here on the official site from a post in 2014, was you'd unlock slots, a gem, relic, and trinket slot. Mm. And basically, you get, like, a level one. Think of it as, like, your jewel crafting in Warcraft. You can get, like, a basic amethyst. And you could level it up 10 times. And each level gave you maximum health of 1.5% for each rank. Mm. So basically, it was this sort of progression way of adding stats from a metagame perspective and then bringing it into the game. So if you had a level 10 amethyst, every time you played, your health would be 15% higher than as if someone who didn't have an amethyst.
Oh.
On any character, it's just a relic slot that you can slot in. And this is a holdover. This is a big thing in League of Legends.
Mm. Yeah.
It is annoying and terrible. It's the most horrifying part of the game is getting, and it's a monetization thing. It's the reason to speed up and buy boosts is to level up these dumb things. And I think at some point they said, you know, nobody actually likes this. They just accept it because reasons.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure they got rid of it for that. This is a good thing. We don't want this.
Yeah, we don't want
it. I think it was the fastest turnaround I've ever seen them do on going from announcement to, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Don't worry. It's pulled.
Yeah.
I want to say it lasted like a month, if that.
If that, yeah. I think it was like 2 weeks. I remember on the surface of it not liking it, but not really totally understanding it, like feeling like I only had a very cursory sort of upset internet guy view of it. And then it went away, and I was like, yeah, that's right. Of course it went away. And then I didn't bother trying to understand it. And so I'm very curious about, sometimes I'm curious about what that may have done to the game. It sounds like,
The top comment on the post is, no, 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 no. This is the caps single worst feature of League of Legends, an out-of-game decision that heavily influences the in-game combat. Please reconsider. It's got like 369 upvotes.
Yeah.
So
I remember that.
That was bad. Okay, well, we're past that now, and we're on to the North American fall regionals at PAX. Those happened last weekend. I watched a bunch of this. Murloc Geniuses and Denial Esports qualify for BlizzCon. This seeds them both there. We talked about it at length on Rally Point, but I'll just say this. I am currently deciding in my own guts that Murloc Geniuses are my team to root for. There's a very sort of came out of nowhere underdog quality to these guys. They have taken down teams nobody thought they would. And I think that they have a real chance to do some mean business at BlizzCon. So, any thoughts about this week's esports?
Not too much.
Didn't get to see it.
Didn't you miss a lot of it? Yeah. How about you, Bo?
Oh, I caught bits and pieces as I was playing my own games. But so you have it on another screen, but you're not really paying attention. But I did sit and watch the finals, and I recommend it. If you are into Heroes of the Storm and want to, like, it, some of the stuff, you, like, we've talked about it before, you don't want to spend 10 hours on every day of your weekend watching the entire regionals. Right. That's totally fine. Definitely check out the finals, maybe even the semifinals, because they're very entertaining matches. Mm-hmm. I have to say, the Murloc Geniuses and Denial Esports run with the full set, and I think Denial almost came back. Like, Murloc Geniuses was 2-0. Spoilers, I guess. I'm telling you to watch it, but I'm giving you the results, too. It doesn't make sense. But it's really good. So, well, we told you who qualified. So the whole thing is a big spoiler. Spoiler tag at the end of the spoiler. There you go.
There you go.
But they're really entertaining matches to watch. So check
them out. Oh, yeah. Definitely. If you know the results, still see some of these VODs. They're real, real good and really fun to watch. And those guys kind of dominated toward the end. I was really impressed. They're great. So I'm Murloc Geniuses all the way. And, you know, it's funny. We talked about this on this show. We've talked about it on Rally Point and other shows, but it's very difficult for teams to garner local or what is perceived as local or regional support from fans. It's easy for John to be a, you know, Phoenix Suns fan because he lives in, I'm not saying you are, but you live in Phoenix, you live in Arizona, so you have your teams, right? It's easy for me to be a Utah Jazz fan. It's easy for Bo to be a, what do you got up there, Canucks or some weird thing?
They got Senators.
Oh, right.
And hockey. We don't have a basketball team. That name, it's a terrible name.
The Senators?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that who plays the Harlem Globetrotters and always loses?
That's the Generals.
It's the Washington congressman versus the New York mayors.
No, it is the Washington Generals is who that is you're thinking of.
Oh, Generals. That's who it is.
Yeah, these are the Senators. The Generals are the military wing. These are the executive branch.
I wanted to make a joke about John because his team's called the Phoenix Sun.
Yeah, Suns.
Suns.
Oh, because I thought the city name was the Sun and the team name was Phoenix because you live on the Sun.
No, it's the Phoenix Sun, see? Pretty close to being true, though. But you know what I mean? Like, you have this built-in, even though it may not be one-to-one for everybody who lives there, but you have this built-in reason to root for a team. It's your local team or it's your school team or whatever. And esports and Heroes in particular, it's very difficult to do that. So you have to figure out how you relate to a team in a way that isn't about local pride or whatever. And for me, the Murloc Geniuses, it's all about them just kicking ass and me going, whoa, and that's it. I mean, I don't know how else to tie my wagon to a team because I really don't get, I don't have a lot of feelings for these other teams.
A big way to get fans is hairstyles. Yeah. Like, I know Gale Force didn't make it, but their hair game is strong. I think it earns them a lot of fans.
I was surprised to hear they didn't make it. That was who I would have expected to do quite well, but
I'm not surprised though in a way because they were the Heroes of the Dorm champions and very talented players, but now they're on a bigger stage, and I didn't expect them to walk in and all of a sudden start beating all of these teams that have been playing at this, you know, at the lands as they call it for this long. I think they still got to cut their teeth on that stage.
Yeah, sure. I agree. Also, I never take hair advice from Bo because he's clearly biased. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. You should take hair advice.
You have a glorious head of hair is what I'm really getting at. And I'm jealous of
it. I do it in service of the show. Yeah. This is how we retain listenership. They listen once and they keep coming back.
I couldn't do that if I wanted to grow it that long. It would take me, I don't know how long. It would never look right. It would look like, I don't know. I'd look like, who would I look like? Who's the guy in
Gandalf.
Ah, you fools. You're not wrong.
Gandalf's cool, though, so it's not really a...
Yeah.
That's not, you know, take that well.
But you've got it going on, because you're not that much younger than me, and because you're at the stage you're at, you can keep this for a long-ass time. Yeah. You're going to be like John Romero from id Software one day.
I was going to say, Star Show's John Romero.
Yeah.
The accessories of my midlife crisis. I mean, I had short hair the whole time. Then I was like, I need to do things for me. And then I start growing my hair. And I'm like, I feel like myself now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a nice story. All right, what else? Varian Rin coming to the Nexus. Maybe a little tribute to our, should I say? I can't. A tribute to our fallen hero, our fallen Alliance hero, Varian Rin. Who is still to this day. Hold on. Let's give him a proper... I need to give him a proper moment here. Here you go. Dearest Martha, I'm writing this letter from the back of it. Again, Greymane's a real dick.
He smells of fleas.
Your son, Varian Wrynn. All right. Whoops.
Don't forget to feed Anduin.
Don't forget. Yeah.
Actually, that, you know what? That's what we should do. You should play that music over him writing the letter in the cinematic.
That's pretty good.
I, dearest Anduin.
Yeah.
We need to go to the broken shore.
We need to isolate it, though. How do we isolate his audio? I don't know how to do that outside of the, so that's not part of the other music isn't in there, you know? That would be awesome.
I don't know. Let's call Metz and have him re-record it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're friends. He could do that. Why not?
He'll do that.
Yeah.
No problem.
Sure. Yes, Bo.
I was hoping you were going to play the other music.
What other? Which one?
The Rockford Files or whatever? No.
I don't need much of an excuse, so.
Let's have a moment of silence for Varian Wrynn.
Yeah. As always. All right. Now let's move on. Sounded like a fart, didn't it?
It did. What was that?
So, some data mining has happened, and I don't know, the idea of Varian Wrynn coming is a pretty exciting thing. Let's talk about the obvious elephant in the room, though. Where are you going to put him? Is he filling the... He's got to be a warrior. He's a warrior. Like, that's his whole thing. He splits his freaking sword in half and starts hacking away at everybody. Like, he's warrior as hell, that guy. So, of course he will be, right? Like, you're not going to make him an assassin, or does anyone... Like, Bo, would you make him anything else besides that?
I wouldn't make him a warrior, and specifically a fury warrior. I mean, he wields the sword that's like one sword, but then two swords.
Mm-hmm. Surprise!
So he's kind of like a arms and a fury warrior. You know, he's definitely not a... I couldn't see him. He's not a Johanna-style protection, you know, people. He seems like he's bad A.
Would you call him... Would you put him in, like, what's her name? Sonya's category? Like a bruiser?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It just depends what talents they give him. I'm picturing him with more Warcraft style abilities, and there's a lot of overlap between the barbarian from Diablo and the, like, heroic leap is like leap. Mm-hmm. And Alarak seems to have the charge ability, so I don't think we'll see charge, like Warcraft style charge. It's hard to know exactly what he'll look like, but hopefully he has bloodlust.
At level
raging blow.
At level 4, he takes deepening scar. That's the scar in his face goes a little deeper. Yeah. Makes him more pissed. At level 7, my understanding is that he'll take daddy issues, which is something to do with his dad dying when he was just a kid. And I think at 16, it's why is my son such a wiener? He takes that. And yeah.
Don't forget the storm talent.
Oh, yeah, the storm
stabbed
talent.
In the back by two spears.
Yeah. Can his ultimate be scream and disintegrate into green goo?
He just explodes, sends little pieces of Varian all over the map. Okay, wait, I got a real idea besides Varian blowing up.
All right.
What if he can fulfill both an assassin and a bruiser, depending on the state his sword is in? So his trait either splits his sword into two, and then he becomes kind of a fast attack DPSer. Or it goes into one, and then he's kind of a slower, harder-hitting bruiser character.
Ooh, I like this. So he's a little exposed when he's dual-wielding, and then a little more his health, you know, goes up or whatever when he's tanking, but he's not doing much damage. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. We don't really have a character that does that currently, I don't think. I mean, Greymane's a good example of, you know, when he goes into Worgen form, he becomes really deadly damage-wise, but he's also very vulnerable in terms of his own life. Points and so on, so it's kind of like that, but or maybe it's like Rexxar where the bear's doing all the business, but if you kill the bear, now Rexxar's kind of exposed. I like that a lot, actually. That'd be all right. What do you think, Bo?
Yeah, I'm down with that idea. I'd be just excited to have him. Yeah. It's hard to imagine what his abilities would be that would be unique to him without it being like a protection warrior.
His ult is he kills a Fel Reaver and it falls on top of the enemy team.
Oh, that'd be great. And we go, brrr, whatever that sound makes.
So this hint comes from, there's a desktop background.
Yeah.
Or not desktop, a home screen background. Called
correct.
Home screen background, Varian Rail. Mm-hmm. And I can't place what's in the picture because it looks like there is a volcano in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that
a red volcano, not a fell volcano. So
yeah. And there looks like Pandaria business, like the little rampart that's on the side. I'm just struggling to place what that is and why that. Yeah, it looks weird.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It'll all be okay when you take his other ultimate, which is mild racism.
But he's pretty reasonable when he has to be, but he has to fight it down. He has to swallow it back.
Tells everybody he has an orc friend.
If we, so I think that the game eventually, listen, if they plan to have hundreds of heroes one day, then we, here's my promise to everyone listening. We will have Varian Wrynn one day. We will have Vol'jin one day. We will have another Tauren finally that doesn't have a guitar.
Can we have a Draenei, please?
We'll probably get a Draenei. I bet we get High Prophet Velen walking around going, he'd be cool.
A cool Draenei, please.
Oh, you don't like him?
Oh, look Velen, at the Velen hate.
Jeez.
Boring. Let's get Murad in there.
You should see him this expansion.
Yiddle. I want Yiddle.
Oh, wait. Who was the dude that died sadly in the last expansion? He was great.
It was Velen that died.
No.
Well, yeah, but another dude died.
Murad Vindicator.
Murad. Murad.
Yeah. I kept wanting to call him Adjudicator, Murad. he does a different job.
He's the comptroller. He
does the lights taxes.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. Comptroller Murad. I like him a lot, so he could come out with, you know, glowing blue business and have goat feet. That'd be fine with me. But I'm saying every name that you can think of in Warcraft lore, in Starcraft, Diablo, and so on, they're going to make it in the game. The question is when and who. And then there are going to be a bunch in there that you wouldn't have guessed, like Ariel's a great example, or Oreo is a good example of that. I would have never picked, like Abathur, when that first got announced way back in the day, I remember thinking, no way, dude. How in the hell are you putting Abathur in this game? And they figured out a way. So, no, all bets are off. Yeah.
And let's talk about when it goes the other way, when you get to play a Heroes of the Storm character in your Warcraft.
Whoa.
Because I got to play me some Murky.
I did too. It was so cool, dude. So they not only, okay, so they plop you into this quest in High Mountain, and a lot of people avoid High Mountain because they think it's like this rustic-y area that's not going to be as magic-y or whatever, and they're right, it isn't. It's definitely a different kind of style, but there's this great quest line where first you have to travel around with Murky in a little bubble while he takes a crap on these green fell things or whatever. I don't remember what it was he was doing.
Slime weed. To give him slime powers.
That's what it was. So he's doing that, and it's making this little fart gross sound, and then when you finish that, you can basically mind meld into Murky and control him and go and do Murky things. And this could have been handled in 1,000 different ways, but they chose to make your first 4 ability buttons. Everything else disappears. You have 4 ability buttons, if that sounds familiar, and they all match up exactly with the way you can build Murky in Heroes of the Storm. So you've got Bubble at number 2, which would be W. Q is the poo goo thing he does. What's 3? 3's the fish, puffer. The puffer fish,
yeah.
Which would be E, and then R, his ultimate. They gave him March of the Murlocs because I think the other one would have been hard to recreate in the game. But anyway, you get to go play as Murky, like straight up Murky. It's awesome. It was totally
so
cool.
Good.
Yeah,
it's so amazing. He wears a little gladiator outfit when you play as him, and so that should be a skin now.
Yeah.
For sure, in the game.
Yeah.
And it was just a nice little surprise. There's been a few cool Heroes of the Storm references in WoW, and I really dug it. And I like that I got to run around and help Murky learn his abilities. You gather the puffer fish that he uses, and you recruit the Murlocs that he uses for March of the Murlocs.
Yeah, it's awesome. The idea that had to recruit them is, like, we're always saying, hey, what about backstory for the Nexus? There's your backstory right there. Like, literally, how did Murky get his kit for freaking Nexus, to play in the Nexus? Oh, I know. We went around a swamp and talked to little baby ones and brought them on the team. It's weird.
Yeah.
Super weird.
So,
anyway, if you haven't done that, you should. What else? There's something here that says shower thought of the week.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a shower thought.
Oh, you had a thought in the shower, not. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about showers. I was like, you know what would make a good shower head?
All right.
And I'll share it on Core because that's an appropriate place. No. I was in the shower and I thought, you know, we need a hero who can mount another hero and be able to use abilities.
Okay.
Kind of Cho'Gall style. And I saw, because I saw some fan art actually of, it was Diablo and Nova was riding on his back.
Yeah.
And so was Murky. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if Diablo's trait or some character's trait was literally mount up another hero on your back and have Nova like snipe around while you're moving around, trucking around on at high speed. And so this could be, we talked, I think, last week or maybe the week before about crazy BlizzCon predictions about types of heroes that might come.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of this and I wanted to add it to the record.
I like the idea, except I have a question about it. If you let's say it's Diablo, we use your example, and the thing is that Nova can get on top of him. Suddenly she has really long range and can do sniping from up there for some limited time. Okay, let's say that's the ability or that's the compromise. I assume this would be like a once in a while thing with a long cooldown. It's not like she can just ride around him on him all the time and do this, right? Like, you got to balance it somehow, or else you just have nothing.
It could be an ultimate.
Okay. Because it'd be all, otherwise you'd be all comps with Diablo and Nova all day, and that sounds horrible. That sounds horrifying.
It does, but the coolness factor was also, you know, just being able to ride, it'd be cool to ride another hero, because that's kind of what you're doing when you're Gaul, but you're inseparable.
Yeah.
This way, at least, you could kind of mix it up, and you get that cool, like, some of the heroes are literally mounts, like, they're mountable. I mean, Falstad is mounted the entire time he's out there, and right. Diablo is big enough that he could carry someone on his back, and same with Asmodan, and Asmodan would like it.
Yeah,
and Diablo wouldn't. Asmodan would be like, "Wow, this is sinful. I like it."
Could you?
I'm down, clown.
If it was Diablo, that you'd want to be able to stand on the back and like hold those two big spires off his back, you know, like just hang on to those things, swaying back and forth as he's running. That'd be pretty badass. But yeah,
that'd be Murky, because Murky already rides the way Murky rides mounts. He just has a hand on the saddle and his whole body flops in the air. So that would be him on Diablo. It'd look amazing.
It is the other nice thing about him in World of Warcraft when you're doing the Murky stuff is he's just kind of floppy and goofy. Like there's nothing heroic about him. He's just kind of a douche. Anyway,
yeah, not till we get playable Murlocs next expansion. Mm. I just want to be clear, Bo. And all I want to do is just clarify what you said. So you were in the shower and you thought, I want to be able to mount a hero and get off.
That's right. That's what happened.
Just making sure. In case anybody missed it in the Murky talk, that's what we did.
Yeah, and you've given me a visual that will not soon leave. If you have any shower thoughts of your own, send them on into the show, core@heroesforyou.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for this. Oh, that's right. Oh. It's freaking Next Jeopardy with your host, Bo Schwartz. Bo, take it away.
Hello, welcome to Next Jeopardy on Core. I'm Gorath Trebek, and joining us are two contestants, as always, John Jagger and Scott Johnson. Welcome, boys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, hello. I'm a meat packer in Ohio, and I like trips to the mall. There you go.
Oh, thank you, John. Is there a little something you'd like to share about yourself?
I'm just happy to be here today, Alex.
All right. So you guys know the rules. It's like Jeopardy, but Nexus style and kind of weird because it's us doing it. Also, loot boxes. Do you guys remember the loot boxes?
We do.
If not, check the patch notes a few weeks ago. This is 2.0. All right.
Yeah.
So we got to roll dice. Who goes first? Scott, you won the last game, I believe.
I did.
With like $1 million.
I did.
Like almost 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the upper 50 or 49 lower?
49 lower. The lower 49, I like to call them.
All right. John, you're first to control the board.
Damn it.
Great.
All right. This week's categories are, remember, three questions per category, 100, 200, 300. Okay?
All right.
The $100, if you get it right, you get a loot box. And there's one question in there where you both get a loot box before the question's read as a magic one.
All right.
All right. Categories are Ready Up Already, the one you see every week. There's a larva in my soup. And we have origin stories. Okay?
Okay, but before... Wait. So there's a larva in my soup. The hint by people listening at home is Zerg unit names. Okay?
Yeah. So this category is a part of the Machines of War series of questions.
Yeah.
Since there's Zerg in the Braxis holdout.
Which we're supposed to get next week, by the way, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so there's Zerg in there, so the answers for that category in particular are Zerg unit names.
All right.
So, John, you have control of the board to start. Where would you like to start today?
I'll take there's a larvae in my soup, Cora.
Or
100, please.
All right. Although little more than feral animals, these creatures work well in large groups under the command of larger brethren. Scott.
What are zerglings?
You got it.
Okay.
Wow. Right. I thought it was too obvious. I didn't want to go with it.
It's the only one I all could right think of where they were subservient like that. So that makes sense. All right. So that was 100?
Yeah, 100. And you get a loot box. You can open it?
Let's open it. Yeah.
All right. Oh, you got a legendary.
Oh, sweet.
I hope you have to talk like an orc.
Oh, I hope not.
All right. You received a Zelnaga artifact.
Oh. What does it all do right for me? And
it gives you one use. You can steal an opponent's answer before it's verified as correct or wrong and suffer the consequences.
Ooh, I like this. Oh. This is great.
Zelnaga okay artifact.
I'm happy to all have right that legendary. That's fine. All right. So,
all right, Scott, you got control of the board.
Let's do origin stories for 100, please.
All right. This hero ran away from home at 12, leaving his small, boring town on Marsara to eventually end up in the military.
Beep.
John.
Who is Jimmy Rayner?
Incorrect.
Wait.
Oh. Ah, crap.
All right. Scott?
Tychus Finley.
You are correct.
Okay.
100 points for you. Whew. Sorry, John. You get another loot box.
There's a 50-50 chance. Really.
I don't know. I was thinking, actually, my head was Warcrafty, and then it settled on Tychus. All right. Because when he says right military, I think I was going, oh, like a warrior for the Kirin Tor or something, but no.
Yeah, there's military in Warcraft.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to open your second box? You got another box?
Yeah, let's open it.
All the boxes.
So every time I get a one correct, I get a box. Is that the deal?
Only for the 100s.
Oh, okay.
You got a Scroll of Frostbolt. It's a common. It's not as exciting as some of the flashy items we have. You can destroy an item with it.
Okay. One of John's items. I can't.
Come at me, bro.
All right, I can
Scott,
do that.
You got control of the board.
All right. I'm going to do there's a larvae in my soup for 200, please.
All right. Boom. Loot cash. You both get boxes.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right. John, would you like to open? Actually, Scott, you should open yours first.
Okay.
Maybe.
Open it up.
Since you picked the question. All right. 21. That means, you got some destructible rocks.
Oh, what does that mean?
Like, so what you can do is you can throw these at your opponent's buzzer to make it go off accidentally, making them answer the question.
That's great.
All right. All right.
All right. Oh, and okay. John, let's see what you got here. Yeah. 37. Oh, again, we're rolling nothing but comments today. You got a fountain drink. So if you're below $0, you can recover up to $400.
Okay, I'm going to use that.
Right, you can save it in case you lose more money.
I'm going to get everything right from now on. I've decided.
Okay, so you drink it and you're back to $0 now.
Great, I did it.
Wow.
All right.
Amazing.
You took a drink from the fountain.
Also,
the next
Scott
fountain
can destroy my item, so I might as well just use it.
Well, you thought of using it first. So
oh, yeah, good job. I didn't even think about destroying them. I'm too busy thinking about when I'm going to throw my rocks at your buzzer.
All right, so here's the answer for the category for the $200.
All right.
It is believed that these semi-intelligent space-faring leviathans known as the Gargantus Proximae were first inducted into the swarm for their heightened senses.
I don't know.
John?
Don't look at me.
All right. You ran out of time. Use the destructible rocks. The the answer is Overlord.
Oh, I could have thrown the rocks at him and made him answer it. Oh, shit. Shit.
All right.
Oh, you know what? I got to get my head out of the thinking that I was thinking it had to be something in Heroes, but there's no Overlords in Heroes, and I wasn't thinking that way. So that's fine. My brain works now.
This category is part of Machines of War. It's their Zerg units.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, you still have control of the board.
All right. Let's do... origin stories for, is it 200 we have?
It's 200,
200, yep.
Yeah. All right. Abercrombie the Embalmer sent this hero to terrorize the citizens of Darkshire.
Beep.
Wait, rocks. I threw rocks.
Stitches.
Oh, shit.
Stitches? All right, you got it correct.
Yeah, well done.
All right.
Stitches go do job for someone.
All right, John.
Oh, I got created by Abercrombie and Finch.
All right. John, you have control of the board.
Origin stories for 300.
All right. This hero was created by the Overmind as a brood of one, assembled from many different species. Scott?
Who is... Oh, shit. Oh, my gosh. Why the brain... My brain. Who is... Tongue Licker Man.
Tongue Licker Man.
Who is...
That's incorrect. You lose $300.
Frick.
You're at negative 100. All right, John, you go.
Now, if he tries to get it and gets it wrong, he loses money too, or no?
He does.
He does.
Wait, were you going to give him credit for Tongue Licker Man, or was he just flat out wrong?
The answer is incorrect in many ways.
Okay, I just threw some rocks at his thing and it buzzed. That means he...
John, your buzzer went off. You got to answer. $100. Beep.
Well, that's a very good question there. I like it. Yeah. I'm going to say, who is Abathur?
You are correct.
Damn it!
Boom! Oh, your rocks have betrayed you.
Oh, they have. I thought it was Dehaka. Now the name comes to me.
Frick. Yeah, no, it's not Dehaka. It's Abathur. All right. At least according to what I read.
That makes sense, because Dehaka is not... He's like, Abathur is the ultimate in evolution, while Dehaka is like this primordial piece of garbage with a tiny hand.
Wow, shots fired. No love for Dehaka, the piece of garbage.
More essence.
All right, John, you are in control. There's all the first category of Ready Up Already and the $300 from There's a Larva in My Soup.
Well, let's kill the larva question. Let's do that for 300.
All right. Only seen in the largest of conflicts, these aerial Zerg regurgitate small symbiote creatures that serve as living ammunition, who, after striking, attack their prey relentlessly.
What's it called?
We've said the name of this unit recently.
Tonight? Wait. Okay, don't confirm it yet. Go ahead and say it.
John?
What is an Overmind?
Okay, stop. Now I'm throwing a ice thing at him.
Wait, a ice thing?
No, ice. The ice ball thing?
That destroys the items.
Oh, no. What was the one where I can stop him?
Zelnaga artifact.
Oh, the artifact. I want to use the artifact.
I got it wrong, though.
You can steal the answer.
Oh, that's what it lets me do, is steal the answer?
I might have gotten it right. I feel we did say it earlier.
I'm not going to use it yet. I'm not going to use it yet.
John, you're incorrect.
Okay.
No, you should have stolen it.
I'm going to steal it. Is it, or, what are, oh my gosh.
We've said its name before.
What are brood, hold on. What are brood, not brood, shit?
Brood shit.
Hold on, brood.
My favorite unit from StarCraft
2. Oh, man. We're going to have to
Guardians. What are Guardians? What are Guardians?
That is incorrect.
Damn it!
And I know why you said Guardians, because Garrett corrected you on the instance.
Yeah.
The whole Guardians and Brood Lords things. The answer was Brood Lord.
Frick! Yeah. Damn it. I get those two mixed up all the time. They were the replacement for Guardians. Guardians were the bomb. I think Guardians
wanted to give that to you.
Well, and in Heroes, their Guardians are back. And Broodlords aren't in there, as far as I know. In this map, anyway. I mean, anyway, doesn't matter.
Well, the good news is there's a whole other category left. Right. I don't remember who was in control. I think it was.
Yeah. I'll do Ready Up Already for 100.
There is always hope. John beeped.
Who is Ariel, or Oreo, as we know her?
Yep, correct.
Yeah, well done.
John, next one.
Don't I get a loot box?
Oh, you do get a loot box. That is correct. Sorry, I almost skipped over that.
That's all right.
Let's hold my loot, man.
All right, so you got a... you got troll sweat in an aerosol can.
Great.
So you can spray this in the air to cancel the effect of one buff and the associated item generating the buff, if there's a buff. Okay. It's troll sweat. It's not much good for anything.
All right.
Cool.
Continue on.
Yep.
Great.
Scott, you want to destroy that while you're over there? You can.
Well, with my sweet snowball, I'm hanging on to it.
You're not? Okay.
I'm not yet.
Ready up already for 200.
All right. From order comes justice.
Beep.
I heard Scott first.
That is going to be... Or sorry, who is Tassadar?
You are correct.
Okay. All right.
That's a nail biter. Negative 200 for Scott. Negative 100 for John.
Who's no!
From order comes chaos. All right, go ahead.
Here is the last answer. You ready?
Yep.
Yep.
I hear the call. Scott?
Oh, I just left. Hold on. How much time do I have?
Like 10 seconds.
Oh, who is Kerosene?
Incorrect.
What?
I hear the call. John?
Hold on. I want to hear the impression one more time.
You went, I hear the call.
Nope, don't know it. I feel like I know it.
This is going to piss me off so bad. Wait, do I have a thing I can use?
It's going to make you furious. It is Nazebo.
Oh, Nazebo!
I hear the call.
That's who I meant! That's who I meant.
Said Kerosene.
I know. It's all me, but that was so stupid, Scott. Right.
Well, the good news is, because according to Next Jeopardy rules, when both players are in the negatives, we swap the points. So
what?
Scott is at 500, and you are at 100, John.
This whole thing is a sham. That's the punishment
for both of you not being good. You lose as a team, and then you win as individuals.
All right, but we can change it all with Final Jeopardy, right? Or Final Next Jeopardy.
Yep. So place your bets.
Okay.
The Final Jeopardy category is the tooth hurts.
It's tooth. So it's kind of teeth related, it says here. It's
kind of teeth related.
Holy shit.
The tooth hurts.
Okay. All right. I know what I'm doing.
How much you betting?
200.
Oh, you're not giving John a chance.
Well,
no. All right.
I'm giving
John,
him a chance.
Do you want to bet anything or?
No, I'm betting nothing in protest of this sham of a game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So here is the answer.
I love Bo's response. Yeah, okay. And then he moves on. That's amazing. All right. Go ahead.
This would be the number of mandibles in the external part of Stitch's stomach orifice.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's the Final Jeopardy thing. You have your answers?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with John. John, you bet 0. What was your answer?
8.
Okay. Now, Scott, you bet 200. What was your answer?
6. 3 on each side.
All right. John was correct.
No.
And Scott, you lost $200.
But I still win.
But you still win with...
I could have tied it, is what I could have done, but... Yeah. I'm protesting.
I could have sworn there are only 3 of those. I guess they're on each side, but I guess now that I think about it, you're probably right. There's more ribs.
Also, hold on. Let me also just throw a little fit about your answer. If this is teeth related, shouldn't it be related to the little inner jaw that actually seems to have teeth and not about his rib cage?
Well, that's why I said external mandibles.
Oh.
External orifice.
Yeah.
Not the internal orifice.
The hint, my favorite thing is the hint, which is kind of teeth related.
Those are kind of teeth. As in rib cage.
I just really wanted to call the category the tooth hurts.
You know.
I started with the category, then looked for my question. Okay.
You know, ribs, as we call them, the teeth of the chest.
The teeth of the chest, yeah. Someone's got to eat from the chest. Well done, everybody. I win. All right, time for emails and calls. I think I'm going to play these calls first, actually. We got a call. It came to us at this phone number, 801-471-0462. Leave your voicemails there. And give us calls like this one about Master Skins.
I just listened to your latest podcast about Master Skins. And the way I see it is that it's a reward for finally getting to level 10. You did all of this work, regardless of if you're good or bad, because I played Sergeant Hammer. Religiously, and I am a garbage hammer, but I took the time, the money, all of that stuff that I needed to do to get myself to level 10 and purchase that skin because I like seeing Hammer as a black tank. And it's not a judge on skill, to me at least, depending on your mount, your skin, whatever. It's just you appreciate that character as that style and you want that for your look. All right, guys.
I think that's a fair reason, but I also think Bo's original assertment, is that a word? Assertion. Yeah, was that was that if you show off at level 10 skin, you're showing a couple of things off. One, that you've achieved something. You've also paid for something with gold. And so there's a sacrifice there and it means something to you. And also you've had 10 levels of play with that character, which in theory means that you're not terrible. Like he says he's a garbage hammer. I'm guessing he's not as bad as he thinks he is. He's probably okay because enough play with any character is going to, even if you're half-heartedly doing it just to get a skin, I feel like eventually you're going to be better than you think you're going to be. So I still think our point stands, though, you know?
Yeah, I'd still say he's probably better than anybody that's just like, who's this hammer? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Siege tank time.
Yeah, I agree. He's Bo, better than that. What do you think, Bo? Same?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I agree with the caller, too. I think there no one's in opposition.
Everyone
our point still stands, and his point is already standing.
Yeah, it was already standing. Nobody's sitting. Everyone stand. Next Jeopardy has got good rules. Scott won fairly today. here's one about that very thing.
Hey, this is for the Core podcast. I just wanted to say last week's Heroes Nexus Jeopardy, whatever it's called, was the laughest I've allowed at work. Y'all made me look like a lunatic to all my coworkers. I wanted to thank y'all for that. But I had a question. I haven't played Heroes of the Storm since Overwatch came out, but I still listen to the podcast. In fact, I still listen to another podcast as well. And I wonder what is your advice for getting back into the game after a long break? Thanks. Love the show. Have a good day.
I think a lot of people went through this a little bit with the, I mean, we had kind of an advantage. We ended up in that beta for a very long time for Overwatch. Yeah. So we played the living hell out of it during its pre-release and then a bunch at release. I feel like that put us in a place where we had a really good feel of Overwatch. It doesn't mean we don't want to play more Overwatch. I play it all the time with the kids, but I'm not nearly as every night gotta play. And so it's been easier for me to say, well, my friends are on, I'd really like to play Heroes or whatever. Actually, World of Warcraft's a bigger problem right now because it's getting in the way of everybody doing anything game-wise outside of playing Warcraft. So my advice would be just get in there and go, like, start playing. Like, I don't know. I mean, there isn't any kind of, like, opening, is there, Bo? Like, you don't know. There's no way to, like, shoot the gap when you're trying to merge traffic here. You just need to get in and play again.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's good to grapple onto something that you find is a fun idea, like, rather than just be like, I got to be good all of a sudden, or I got to know what the meta is. Like, you know, being Chen, sitting in the lane, drinking, and not dying as long as possible is its own fun. Mm-hmm. Being Illidan and just going in and feeding, doing the YOLO din, that's its own brand. Just find something you feel like is fun just to start with and just do the fun thing. Go seven-sided strike Karazim all game, every game, take the mana talent. Mm-hmm. Just do what feels good and try a few of the heroes until you find something that you just makes you want to play, because there's guaranteed mechanics in there you will find fun. I'm starting to find Tracer really fun. It's happening, boys. I'm finally loving the Tracer,
yeah,
because I win games with her, mm-hmm, and I just teleport everywhere and go, hey, you stupid losers, I kill you. that's not a Tracer
harsh,
talks,
but harsh, real brutal. Yeah,
but you know, it's pretty fun being like neener as Tracer. So I've been picking her like on Blackheart's Bay just because it's super fun to play with her, even though maybe in theory there's a better pick. I'm just like, I'm gonna have fun being irritating with this character.
I'm glad you finally found her in that way. John, what do you think about the whole idea of getting back? You've gone through spells of where you're not in for a long time. What do you do to get back in and get yourself not rusty?
Yeah, it's weird because I have two things I do and they are polar opposites of each other. Hmm. So go figure. Thing number one, I play a hero that I don't play very much because then I'm building an expectation in my mind. All right, I don't really play this hero. It's kind of okay if I suck. I can just kind of get in and kind of learn the hero while I'm finding the rhythm of the game again. I have no expectations for myself. And while my team might say, oh, we want you to do great, I know where I'm going to be with my level one Falstad or whatever I'm playing as. Mm-hmm. The other is I jump back into a character I'm extremely familiar with and just kind of let the rhythm hit me again. Like, but I think the key in both of those situations is just understand you're not going to be exactly where you were before you took the break, and there might have been some meta changes and stuff like that, and it's just going to take time So just get in, play the games, and don't be too hard on yourself if you run into a little trouble.
I like your thinking. I got one more email here from Captain KS.
You got to read this. You got to read this in character.
Ahoy, mateys,
he says. It's going to be all piratey, all right? I'm warning you. Do we have any pirate music? Hold on. I might have some pirate music.
There's Martha.
Pirate.
I'm a pirate today.
Oh, yeah, there it is. No, I'm not going to do it. I can't find any pirate music.
You
oh, you know what?
Do a pirate voice to that. I'm just curious if it works.
All right, here's one. Okay, here we go.
Arr, mateys. I've been listening to ye podcast and me...
bad Mexican food.
And me thinks I want to write into the show. This be about the PTR, yarr. I got mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, me likes the new content. On t'other, thar matchmaking be garbage. And the games be no fun sometimes, cause of it. Except Blackheart's Bay, of course. Har, har, har. But on this one, thar be no Blackheart's Bay, yarr. So how about yous feels about the PTR, yarr?
It's perfect music. I nailed it. That's Captain KS. What? Man, that hurt my throat for a minute. Where are we on the PTR? I think I'm glad it exists, but listen, they're not telling you to, they're not saying, hey, at your peril and unenjoyment, go play the PTR. They're saying, hey, if you want to see stuff early, test some things, try a new hero, then by all means go to the PTR, but you don't need to go there, you know? So don't go there, I'd say to that person. A lot of people don't. They don't want to be spoiled on this stuff till it's out in the real world. Like, we've all seen the MVP system, but might be kind of nice to see that for the first time out in the wild where it's, you know, public. So just don't go there.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this particular PTR falls on the same schedule as the last few weeks of Hero League. Like, that's been, I've always been like, maybe I should try Alarak again. And I'm like, no, I want to get some Hero League games in. Let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice in Hero League. So yeah, play it if you want, but I think I played it for the first 2 days, and then I'm waiting now for it to release.
Yeah, we do it for the show.
It'll be here soon.
Yeah, we do it for the show and stuff, but John, there's no reason. I mean, you're not like hopping in there every day.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't like the way PTR feels.
Yeah,
so
PTR feels
I get
weird.
In there to just kind of get an idea because I can't wait. It's like peeking at your presents, but I don't want to open them and play with them and get sick of them before Christmas gets here.
Yeah, you got to wait for Christmas, which in this case is like the 14th of this month. But I would say that also by doing this, you're putting yourself at risk for horrible queue times or weird situations where every game is nothing but the heroes that are getting the most attention or the new guy that's being released. Your chances of getting on that map aren't necessarily 100%. So you may not see that necessarily unless you do something with custom. I mean, it's just kind of, it's a thing to throw out there. They get some data from it. It's by all means not the perfect way for them to decide if a character's OP or if there's any changes that need to be made. That's what live servers are for, but it's there to check stuff out. And I'm with John. Go in, take a peek, say, yep, Alarak's for me, and get out. And then wait for it to come out. Thank you for that email. And thank you for making me talk like a pirate. That's Captain KS.
There wasn't really anything of substance in there, right?
No.
It was just, how's the PTR? Now talk like a pirate.
Yeah, it was like, basically
I'm
that.
I'm not going to lie. I had to reread the entire email because I realized by the time Scott started actually talking about it, like logically and soundly, I was like, I have no idea what this email was about.
Yeah.
I was just laughing about the voice the entire time. Yeah. So
you know what I realized? I do actually have, I have all that tavern music from the Warcraft Tavern songs. That would have been perfect.
Been yeah. Why that would have been better than...
Why didn't I
Yar,
do that?
Yar, come on down to Captain Sanchez's Mexican diner. Bring all the little landlubbers.
So like I could have done...
Bring all the little landlubbers. This writes itself, John. You're a genius.
It could have been
fortune advertising.
What do these all have? Let's see. Yeah, like this would have been good. Sort of. Or like... No, like that. Hold on. These are all taking too long to play. Oh, here you go. Yarr! See, that would work. I could have done
that. Yeah, that would have been good.
All right. Thanks for those. Email us, core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. You can also email us, 801. Or no, that's a phone number, 801-47. Wait, what did I do? I do these backwards. Email us, core@heroesforyou.com. Phone call, voicemail, hoo-ha, is at 801-471-0462. You'd swear I'd never done this in 10 years.
That's going to do it for the show, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Heroes4U.com is the website. You can find all that contact details and more. You can join us in the game / join Frog Pants. Hopefully soon they'll have a real clan system. Looking forward to that. Also follow us on Twitter. Core Heroes for the show. John_Jagger for John. Bo Schwartz for Bo. And I am at Scott Johnson. I think I already said that. All right. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Orifice.
That's a good question.
Oh, orifice. I like that.